Good morning, everybody. Today is December 14th, and I'm so excited that you guys are going to be with us this morning. But I did find out something when I went to dial in. They're changing our call number. They've had a lot of issues with the platform, with freeconferencing.com. It's just an older platform. This is one of the very first numbers. I think we've been using the same number, I think, for 5 years now. So it's been quite a while. But we'll be changing the number. I know that when you dialed in, they hurry up and rattle off a number that they'll be changing it to. We're going to switch platforms. We're going to go with one of their higher def platforms. So it just makes the speed of the recording and everything a little bit easier and more compatible with online replays and things like that. So just be sure to watch the Facebook feed this week, and I'll make sure that we post the new number before next week because it changes tomorrow, actually. They're going to discontinue this number after today. So that was just a little bit of housekeeping. Just make sure that you pay attention and you notice that. We're going to talk this morning and really take some time to be with the Lord. And the title for the message today is The One Thing to Get All You Need. And so that's what we're going to be talking about from the Word today. Let's go to the Word in prayer, and then we'll get started. Father God, I thank you for this morning, this glorious season that we're in. I thank you that each person here is dedicated to loving you and serving you with all of our heart, Lord. So I pray that you would just bless us today with your word. Lord, I pray that you will speak through my mouth of clay, give me supernatural wisdom and recall of your word, Lord. And I pray that you would help me to decrease so that you could increase, so our lives will never be the same after spending time with you and with each other this morning. We love you and thank you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you about something that I think is really important today, and I know that many of you are online, and that's probably how many of us met, actually, is we probably were somewhere online or on Facebook or someplace, and we our paths crossed, or they crossed the path of someone else we knew, and then they referred us, and we got connected this way. But one thing that I see that the enemy is using more and more every single day, and I know we talked about this last week, about getting in the Word more, not just reading memes and tweets and things like that, but really reading the Word. So I hope that you guys were reading the Word more, getting in and studying. And the one thing that constantly comes to my attention that the enemy is doing is he's causing distraction. And I see that we have an epidemic of what people would call ADD, or attention deficit disorder. Now, I don't know if that's truly a diagnosis. I'm not here to really judge any of that. What I am here to talk to you about today, though, is about being single-minded and about our focus and where our mind needs to be and focusing on the things that matter. And one of the things that I've noticed is if I can turn off my feeds, my bells, whistles, you name it, whatever the noise is that you have for all the different notifications that we have, that I can focus better, and I'm so much more effective when I focus. And it's one of the things that the Lord would want for us, right, is that we would focus on Him and solely and be in God's will. And it's hard. I'll be honest with you, it's hard in today's day and age because everything's instant and everything's got a bell and a whistle and we can stay connected 24/7. I can remember the day, this is going to date me, but I can remember the day when by 3 o'clock most people were finished with work and there would be seldom a phone call that would come into our family home. And for sure, everybody, if you were working late, you'd work till 5. And then at 5, everybody would come together and we would have dinner and then homework. And there would be very, very little distraction. There might be an hour of television that might be put on, but very little distraction. Now we've got bells and whistles and notifications and multiple platforms and the phone never rings, the email never stops, the texting never goes away, the Facebook feed is constant, and we're bombarded with messages. So how can we stay focused and single-minded on the Lord? That's pretty challenging, right? Well, Jesus was giving a sermon, and if you probably know about this sermon, and it's the Sermon on the Mount. It was his biggest sermon ever. He talked to just a ton of people. And then he was going on and he was talking and sharing. And then he talked about teaching and about prayer and fasting and then money and possessions. And he just was sharing it and ministering. He was in full swing with his ministry, right? And in Matthew 6:33, there's a verse I want to point out to you. And basically what was happening is in Matthew 6, he goes on and he talks and he says, well, nobody can serve two masters. So right there it tells us, he's like, be single focused. Like, I want you to really focus. I want you to listen to this. You can't be trying to do more than one thing all of the time, right? But he says you can't serve two masters. For you're going to hate one and love the other, and you'll be devoted to one and you'll despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothes? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food up in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Well, we know the answer to that was no. That was a rhetorical question, right? And he says, why worry about your clothes? Look at the lily of the field. Look at how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory wasn't dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into a fire tomorrow, he'll certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? That's key. Then he goes on in verse 31 and says, so don't worry about these things, saying what will we eat and what will we drink, what will we wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Again, another key phrase there. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need. And then he goes on in verse 34 to say, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring us our own worries. Today's trouble's enough for today. So basically what he's saying is he says, stop worrying, right? He also tells us that the unbelievers are the ones that think about all of these things and don't trust. Isn't that what trust is belief, right? So if we're not believing that God's going to take care of this and we're continuing to worry about this, basically he's saying you're an unbeliever. And I'm not here to judge where your walk is with the Lord. I'm just reading the scripture, okay? So I'm not saying that maybe you're not saved, but what I believe that the Lord's saying, and this was right from Jesus, is he wants you to believe more. He doesn't ever want you to worry or think about this because he tells you in verse 33, he says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he's going to give you everything you need. He didn't say everything, but he said he'll give you everything you need. So there's your prescription right there. Write it down. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need. But right before that, he says, don't doubt. Believe and stop worrying, right? So we know that the word of God is true, and we can count on that. So after he tells us that, you know, we can't serve God and money, we can't be split in our focus, he already knows all of our needs, he tells us not to worry. And do you know what worry actually means if you look it up in the Greek? It means to divide the mind. We wonder why we're so split-focused when we're worrying. So what we're doing is we're not staying single-minded on trusting that the Lord's going to provide everything that we need. So to be single-minded means not to worry, because what happens is worry shifts the mind. Our focus needs to be on God and that he already has it under control. So how do we focus on Jesus when there's so many distractions, right? It's really kind of challenging. And I love the example that's given in Matthew 14, a few chapters later. And I think this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And we can hurry up and we can judge on Peter and we can hate on him and we can just say, well, if he would have done this, or, you know, how could he take his eyes off Jesus? If it were me, I would have kept my eyes on Jesus. There wouldn't have been any of that. let's really break this down just a little bit more, okay? So after Jesus got done doing the Sermon on the Mount and ministering and things, he said, you know what, guys, I want you, my disciples, I want you to go and go out onto the water, and I'll meet you on the other side. So basically what it says in Matthew 14, starting at verse 22, it says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. So, you know, let me handle this. You guys go. You get a head start, and then I'm going to say goodbye to everybody, and I'll meet you there. So he says, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Now, I often wonder, because we're going to read the story here in a minute if you don't know it, but I often wonder if Jesus already knew what was going to happen, right? He did. He was God, right? But I wonder if he went to pray because he knew what was going to happen. I believe that Jesus wants us to always be successful, and he wants only good things for us, right? So I believe that he prayed for them like he prayed for them when he was in the Garden of Olives and when he right before he was betrayed in the crucifixion. He was praying for them, that he was praying that he could make it to the other side of the trouble, but he was also praying for us. He was sweating blood. Now, not at this time, but I believe that that's just the nature of Jesus, that it's not that he wants us to fail or he wants us to be in these kind of situations, but he knows that, you know, it tells us in the Word that there will be trouble, right? He tells us that there will be trouble, but he'll pray for us and he'll be with us. He's got our back to get us to the other side of whatever storm you're going through. He knew there was going to be a storm, so I believe that he went and he prepared and he prayed. So it says, after sending them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had come up, and they were fighting really heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" I mean, can you believe that? I mean, isn't that just how we are? We'll jump to conclusions. We'll be in the middle of a storm. We'll start jumping to conclusions, even though Jesus is coming already to rescue us, and here we are, we're jumping to conclusions. But Jesus spoke to them at once, and he said, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I'm here." Then Peter called to him and said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." And what happened? Jesus said, "Yes, come." So Peter went over to the side of the boat, and he walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified, and he began to sink. He said, "Save me, Lord." So how many times have we had faith? Maybe at the beginning, maybe we were a little scared in the storm. We started jumping to conclusions. Jesus said, "I've got this. You know, come to me." Okay, I'm going to come to you. We start walking out to Jesus. We're walking in faith. Then all of a sudden, we look at the storm around us again. We split our focus. We start not believing. We start not thinking. We're not keeping our mind on the Lord and what he's already told us to do. And then we start to sink. And then he screams, "Save me, Lord." And, I mean, really, Jesus could have said, "Oh, come on, Peter. Like, you knew better than this. You should have been looking at me. You should have obeyed what I said." But no. What does he say? Jesus immediately reached out to him and grabbed him. He said, "You have so little faith." Oops. Didn't we just hear that in our secrets to be able to have everything? To have more faith? Okay, let's get back to the scripture here in verse 31. Jesus said, "You have so little faith, why did you doubt me?" The Lord can work in faith. He can't work in doubt. The opposite of faith is doubt and fear. When they climbed back into the boat, guess what happened? The wind stopped. The Lord already prepared a vessel for them. Then the disciples worshipped him, and they said, "Man, you really are the Son of God." And they got all excited. When we focus on God, we need to realize that he's already got it under control, right? We don't have to be afraid. We need to take courage because Jesus is with us. He's with us in our storms too. And the way that we can stay single-minded and focused and walk on the water in faith with him is to keep our eyes on him. He went to them in their fear. He was interceding for them already. But he did point out one thing, didn't he? You had little faith. He wants our faith to increase. He doesn't want us to take our eyes off of him. And when we take our eyes off Jesus, that's when we start to notice all the things around us. We have things that take our attention off Jesus. Who do you look to? Who do you ask for? What is your focus when you're thinking? Jesus or the waves? What do you do when your bills start mounting? When you find yourself in a relationship that's broken? When the outlook looks dim? When the doctor gives you a diagnosis? Where's your focus? What are you looking at? You know, there's a couple ways that we can fix our thoughts on Jesus and to really make this work more effectively. And Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Not the circumstances of this world, but the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you'll share in all of its glory. So stop worrying. Stop worrying about the unknown or what could possibly happen or what if, right? You know where you need to focus. You know what truth is. It's in the Word. Never be afraid to trust in an unknown future to a known God. God loves you. He tells us not to lean on our own understanding in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct our path. So we need to focus on him and then fix our thoughts on what's true, right? The Lord tells us in Philippians 4, 8, 9 what we're supposed to think on. But instead, what do? We focus on worry, fear, doubt, anxiety, panic. But these things are not true. Faith, goodness, patience. God wants to focus us, have us be focused on and think on the things that are his kingdom, the things of this world, right? That's what he has for us. And instead, we'll take our focus off of him and we get into big trouble. So Philippians 4, 8, 9 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think on these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. And isn't that what happened as Jesus got into the boat? He got into the vessel with them, and the peace came. Know that in this world there will be troubles. We're told that. But we also know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And Jesus is going to be with you in the storm. But we've got to trust him as he stretches out his hand to us in the storm. Put first things first. That's the most important thing. There's a book by Mark Batterson, and it's called All In. And I just want to read just a quick quote here from that. It says, the gospel costs nothing. You can't earn it or buy it. It can only be received as a free gift, compliments of God's grace. It doesn't cost anything, but it demands everything. What are you holding back? What are you hanging on to? What are you not surrendering? It demands that we go all in. A term that simply means placing all you have into God's hands, pushing it all in. And that's where we get stuck, right? The spiritual no man's land. We're afraid that if we go all in that we might miss out on what life has to offer, or that we aren't doing it on our terms. But it's not true. The only thing you'll miss out on is everything that God has to offer. But the good news is this, if you don't hold out on God, God won't hold out on you. I want you to ask yourself, Lord, where have I held back? Where have I taken my eyes off of you? I want to make sure that no matter what, I keep my eyes singly focused on you. Going back to our very first verse today, Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need. Now, I didn't say he wouldn't give you everything you wanted, right? I said he'd give you everything you need. He does have verses in the Word that tells us that he'll give us the desires of our heart, right? I'm not negating that, but what I am saying is this came right from the mouth of Jesus. This is what he is saying to you today. This is your word. Seek the kingdom of God above all and live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need. He'll help you be all in. How are you trusting him? Completely single focus, or do you get distracted like Peter in the middle of the storm? You start looking around. Are you making assumptions? Or are you keeping your eyes on Jesus? Can you imagine what would happen if we put God first in our family, in our job, in our finances, in the decisions, especially the big ones? I don't want you to miss out on God's best by not putting God first. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you for another incredible morning together. I thank you for those that have joined us live and those that listen to the recording, Lord. I praise you and I thank you. Lord, I thank you that you're increasing our trust. Lord, we call forth cash flow from the north, the south, the east, the west, and unexpected places. And Father God, I praise you and give you glory for the $8,400 that Bob has received, Lord. Help him to be faithful, to know where to give back to you from this portion that you've given to him. Help him to be faithful. Give him wisdom and direction. Lord, we ask for continued cash flow, that you would help his trust not to be doubtful, but to be unwavering in faith, that his faith would increase, Lord, and that you would show him those supernatural things that he can do to increase wealth. You told us in your word that you've given us the ability to create wealth. So, Father God, we're coming to you first and foremost, believing, and then we promise to be obedient to the things that you tell us to do. My heart goes out to Connie's friend. David's mom is a special mom. Lord, I ask for healing of her heart. She's been abandoned by her husband, the one that said that he would love and cherish her like you do your church. Heal her heart, Lord, that she doesn't feel rejected or abandoned. Lord, I pray for David as well, that you would heal him, that he doesn't feel abandoned or the cause of this abandonment. Lord, you know that she's a single mom and she's struggling. And Lord, we know that that's not what you would have for us. That's not your plan. That's not your design. Lord, I thank you that she has Connie for a friend. Give Connie wisdom and her husband wisdom on how to help, what to do. Help them to be your tangible hands and feet, even if it's time for just a break or a shower or time to play with David so that she has some alone time to rest and restore or to have that focus time with you. Lord, I pray that you would meet her financial needs, her emotional needs, that you would send someone into her life to love her in a way that is so special. Lord, I thank you that you tell us in your word that when we are husbandless, that you will be our husband, that you will be a husband to the husbandless and a father to the fatherless. And Lord, that you care for those that have been abandoned. Lord, I pray that even today she would feel your love and your kindness, your arms would be wrapped around her. Lord, I pray that you will just continue to spark creativity in Connie's mind, that she will be able to just know and hear directly from you exactly what to do to make the difference for her friend and for David. Lord, I pray that you will send a male mentor into David's life, that he could be mentored in your ways and he can grow strong in stature and in wisdom according to your word. Father, I pray for Carol's father-in-law, that he has the heart catheter on Wednesday. In Jesus' name, we command that the blockage be gone now. Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct the hands and the minds and the thoughts of the surgeons, Lord, as they go in to remove anything that would still be remaining if necessary. Lord, we pray healing now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we haven't forgot about the biopsy or the appendix, Lord. We know that you can heal these as well. So we just ask that the spot on his bladder be gone, his appendix be cleared up now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just praise you for Sally, for a new friend who joined our group. Lord, I pray that you will meet all of her needs. Lord, I pray a blessing on each and every business and every home that's been represented on our call today. Lord, bless them abundantly so they can turn around and be an additional blessing to others. We love and we praise you. Lord, I ask that you would bring healing to our homes, that you would free those from sickness that are sick and giving into disease. Lord, we rebuke that now in Jesus' name. We command that all chains be broken, that addictions be gone, that minds are free, hearts are free, bodies are free, that homes are restored, relationships are restored, marriages are restored, respect from children to parents has been restored, that there's been a time of reconciliation and healing and mending of relationships. We love you and ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Make it a great week, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. And don't forget that we're changing the phone number next week. You're going to want to check on Facebook before you dial in because we want to make sure that you can be on next week's call. It'll be a very special call. Take care. God bless you. And I'll be with you again next week. If you need prayer, don't hesitate to private message me or message to the Christian Direct Seller on Facebook. I love you guys. I'll be with you next week. Bye now.